welcome you to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. And now your host, Pastor Buddy Johnson.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here to the Shepherd's Call. I'm glad to have you with me tonight. It's truly a privilege and an honor to be in your midst wherever that I may be coming to you tonight. Veil Truth Radio. Praise Yahweh. So call a friend and tell them the Shepherd's Call is on here. We're going to go into the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations, and we're going to start our search for truth from the beginning, meaning Genesis 3:15, where we have actually started our series on the breath of life people, or what we describe as the dust of the earth people. So then, in the book of Revelations, if you will turn with me to the 12th chapter, again, we will read the witness of the word of Yahweh. It says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Now, ladies and gentlemen, if we go back at the type and look at the scriptures in Revelations 3, 14, and 15, this same dragon, that old serpent, the devil, he is now actually performing a feat that even angels, as the old saying goes, would fear to tread where he went. But he being the second in command, actually he was the most beautiful of all of the stars or the angels in the garden, heaven environment, fifth dimension, if you will. And so then he took authority and played the, if you will, he actually prostituted himself out to the woman and brought forth a seed. Now, remember, following his failure to get into the being of God, he could not genetically mix with Abel, because Abel, the Bible said, was the son of God, slain, the son of Yahweh, slain from the foundation of the world. Now, in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, you will find that this failure was, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, it crashed go the dragon, so to speak, praise Yahweh, and his subsequent expulsion from heaven. Satan made his assault after he was cast out of heaven. He come down to make war with those that feared Yahweh and kept the commandments and who were offspring of Adam. Now, we get to Adam's sons in the first world. All of those perished. Now, isn't it horrible that all of the sons of Adam perished in the flood, with the exception of Noah and his sons and their wives, a total of 8 souls, righteous in their generation or their genetics. I want you to keep your mind on genetics. The genetic war is going on today. We are being enticed again by the serpent seed. Now, you say, "Well, Pastor Buddy, you know, I look around and you guys holler about this serpent seed and I don't see any and everybody looks good and things are going along quite well and no problem, you know, as it seems." So it seems that when the scripture says, it says, listen to what it says. It says, "When they say peace, peace, then cometh a sudden destruction." Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the last days. "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Who is these now that went in the way of Cain? Well, let's go back to Jude chapter 1 and verse 6. "The angels which kept not their first estate." Now, if you will read Genesis 6 and 1, 2, 3, 4, you'll see what we read last night in your presence, that these mighty ones, these angels, see the fallen angels, and they produced an offspring called Nephilim. And the Heavenly Father chose the Israelite nation, the sons of Jacob, who were mighty in valor, to slay them. David, remember, he slayed giants, and so did his captains, Joab for one, and other mighty men slay all these from the from, actually, they were still genetically breeding in the earth in the time of David, 1000 B.C. Isn't that strange? Praise Yahweh. Now, even as the angels which kept not the first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, they are bound and reserved in chains. Now, I read you in the 20th chapter, very interesting. I'd like for you to just go with me over there, and you'll find something. Now, remember, we stopped at Revelations 12 and 6, or 6 and 7. Let me read 7 for you, for time's sake here. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon and his angels prevailed not. In other words, Michael and the other angels won the war, because the Bible said there was war in heaven. This was a literal fight to the finish, if you will. And that old serpent called the devil, and Satan was, which deceives the whole world, he was cast down into the earth. Now, what did Satan do? He incarnated a flesh being in his likeness through his blood. You say, angels don't have blood. Yes, but angels have the seed within themselves, so then the blood is within the seed. And you either make the tree good and the fruit good, or the tree corrupt, and so on and so forth. So you know that they were bringing forth in Genesis 6. Now, if Satan is the one that demonstrated to the other angels, and they envied him, the Bible said all the trees in the garden, I read that to you last night, they envied Satan. And so Satan appeared in the garden. He got a seed, and these began to be men of renown. And they built cities. They were good in instruments of music. And, oh man, look at MTV. Look at these enticing our children have been corrupted and gone after these demonic demons. Now, who actually runs Hollywood? An unholy wood is the way I look at it. And who actually runs the music industry? You say, well, country music's not so bad. Country music is just as filthy as all of it. It is under the control of the satanic influence and the lust for money, power, greed, and things of this nature to entice you at the beat of the music. See, music has a beat, and then they put an offbeat into music, which gets you to actually vibrate your vibrational sounding board, if you will, your breastbone, which is nothing more than a sounding board, and it messes up your chakras, which is your input to spirit. And once they do that, they can dumb you down and actually induce you, or they can also deceive you with the music. And remember in the 60s when you could backmask the music, and it would glorify Satan, and it would glorify marijuana? And don't you think that this is a deliberate plot to ruin our nation? We got Nashville, Tennessee here within a couple hundred miles of me. And it is the country music capital of the world. Now a lot of recording artists, both rock and country, and other musics as well, has, you know, they're moving into Nashville. And of course Hollywood remains another favorite recording place. And then these entertainment centers, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said that Moses forsook the pleasures of sin for a season. The Bible said we men love to be entertained. And so we're just looking for entertainment. We'll spend $300 or $400 on a concert of rock music or country music, the stars, and worship the idols of the music, and we will neglect the ministers, the preachers that are preaching the uncompromising. There are so many preachers out here. I hate to be one in the middle here that's saying this, but there are so many of them that sell out for filthy lucre that they may stay on the air or get more radio time, and so they'll preach and teach to you things that you will readily accept rather than the real truth, which you will readily reject. If you're not one of his chosen, if you're not called, the Bible said it's a hard saying, and who can hear it? No, the gospel will not tickle your ears at any time. It demands sacrifice. It demands a completeness about you. You must put on the whole armor. You can't act dressed and go to heaven. Now, you don't want to leave your flanks exposed, your rear end exposed, and your head burying in the sand as an ostrich. You don't want to do that. So what do? You lift your head to the Father, and you get those scriptures that you thought were life, and they turned into be death, because the Bible said there's a way to sin with life, but the end thereof is death. And you pushed toward the mark in the kingdom. Notice here in 13:6, and Satan opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. So Satan's going to fight you with everything he's got and send you a strong delusion that you would be deceived. And ladies and gentlemen, if the gospel's here, it's here to them, it's lost. So you're going to have to move up close. I'm telling you, it's time to pray. It's time to fast. Have you ever fasted? You say, well, no, Brother Johnson, I can't do that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, if you cannot fast your way into the kingdom to destroy your carnal mind, the roots of your carnal mind run deep. The carnal mind is enmity against the Father. Just like he put enmity between the serpent seed and the seed of the woman in that day, praise Yahweh, in Genesis 3:14-3:15, and then the war started. Ladies and gentlemen, it hadn't stopped. Satan's got a master plan. You know what it is? He would to exalt his throne above the stars of heaven. Now, how can he do that? He has to have a genetic output that will multiply greater as the Father's sons and daughters. Remember what except they're coming away, that the end will not come? Well, ladies and gentlemen, don't you believe that there is a falling away, or would you subscribe that, you know, Pastor Buddy, you just, you know, you're tooting your horn, and you're just blowing smoke, and you're worried for a bunch of nothing. We'll get up tomorrow, and time will go on just like it is. Well, that's what the Bible says you'll say. He says that in the end time, you'll say, where's the promise of his coming? We're not worried. You know, tomorrow, I've got plenty of time to get right. But what did the scripture say? Blessed are they that are watching when I come. But take heed that the day come upon you unaware if you're eating and drinking with a drunken. Now, what's that mean? That means if you're miscegenating, if you're collaborating. You see, the world's got a system, ladies and gentlemen. It's people are so worried about one of these days eventually having to take the mark. And I'm on record. I'm the only preacher on here saying, you may already have it. If you don't have the divine covenant name, if you haven't been sealed in that divine covenant name, you've already got the mark. See, Satan's going to deceive you, and people say, well, I'm waiting for the chip. When the chip comes, I won't take it. Therefore, I ain't got the mark. Ladies and gentlemen, the mark is a name that you think that you live by, but you're dead. If you've got any other name other than the one that is written 5,823 times in the scriptures alone, you got the wrong name. You're going to have to pull out, rethink, regroup, rearm yourself with the truth, and walk in as you see the light. So, the scriptures are he said, behold, I come as a thief. And blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, so lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And, ladies and gentlemen, for the spirits of devils working miracles, oh, these spirits of devils, these preachers that seem like, oh, our church is the fastest growing church in the world. Glory to God. You need to get out of that one quick. If you've got a big crowd there, and they're sitting around eating, drinking, and you know, you're bored out of your skull. You look at your watch. Dr. Gary was telling me, he said, Pastor Buddy, he said, you know, I would go to these mailbox churches and I couldn't. Man, I just said, when do we eat or when do we leave? It was so boring and unchallenging to his spirit. You see, there is a hunger developing throughout America and for the world for that matter. And so therefore, those prophets of truth are coming in the last day in the mighty, magnanimous, magnificent, holy, all righteous name of Yahweh to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You got to be sealed in that great name. Behold, blessed is he that keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. Men were scorched in the last day with the gospel. It says, well, we're scorched with great heat. The heat is the gospel. That's the hot stuff, flame and fire. And listen what they do. And they blaspheme the name of God. Instead of correcting their errors, ladies, I'm telling you tonight that there is no substantial base for all these false names that are being preached and ushered in to this present generation as a saving power, salvational power, when there's no salvation except one name. Acts 4:11-12 says there's salvation no other name. Now, Jesus cannot be that name. He's only 500 years old at the most. And his name was never Jesus. His name was Yahweh. And the Son said in John 5:43, I am come in my name, and you receive me not. But if another comes in his own name, another. And the Bible says the stone the builders rejected, the name that the builders, the translators, they rejected the true name of Yahweh, took it out, put in a false name, Jesus. and all the world wondered after the beast. And the beast has got most Christians calling upon this false name, thinking that they're doing God a service, sitting in these dead bell boxes, listening to some... Oh, my. Come out of her, my people. Are you willing to study and search His truth tonight? If you are, praise Yahweh, then stay tuned to the rest of the service tonight, because we got a good one going here, because we want to give you the testimony of the Messiah, as He said. Now, we are going to the 20th chapter. Let me get it in before we get to the break. And I'll lay this foundation for you and build this gestalt of thought for you before we go to break, and then we'll come out and we'll explain when we come back. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. Remember, in the 12th chapter, there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels subdued Satan and his angels and took them to a place in the deep and bound them for 1,000 years, according to the scriptures I'm fixing to read you. Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, Christ is, he's been, you know, it's been 2,000 years. Well, 1,000 years is one day, maybe 2 days. After 2 days, he'll revive us. Maybe we're now, just now, in the time when Satan is to be loosed. Maybe after the end of the 2,000 years, Satan is to be loosed out of his prison. I'm going to read it to you here, ladies and gentlemen. He's coming back to wreak havoc in the kingdom of Yahweh. He's going to war. He knows exactly who you are. You can't hide from him. Would you want to anyway? You say, Pastor Buddy, you scare me. I don't want to join your church because you're predicting that we won't be in a rapture and we'll be here to have to go through the persecution. Well, ladies and gentlemen, somebody's got to do it because the Bible says you will. Now, notice here, let the wicked be raptured out. They're the first ones to always be taken out anyway. So don't get on the first ship, like I said. Don't get on the first plane. You know, someone's going to ride up in on a cloud. Don't get on that one. So here, and he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and bound him 1,000 years. Now remember, the angel that had the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, the chain is a restraining order. So when Michael and the holy angel, the mighty one, Michael, which is a type of Christ, the warrior, and ladies and gentlemen, he's coming back. He's coming back as a little humble Messiah, a little weakly man riding on a colt, on a foal of an ass. He ain't coming back like that. He's coming back in flame and fire. And you better be ready. You better be ready. And if you want to be ready, you got to get the word in you. Notice, they bound him, Satan, and his angels for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, set a seal upon him. And now he's got a seal on him and shut up, and he cannot deceive the nations anymore, that is the sons of Israel, because the Father has given a reaping time for the house of Israel. A few here, a few there, one here, one there, and a few there be defined. It strays away, narrows the gate, and a few there be defined. So he's bringing in a few, one by one, but it's growing. Oh, there's an outpouring. There's an awakening. There is a people that Yahweh has reserved unto himself for the last days. Are you worthy to wear his name? Are you worthy to suffer? If you'll suffer with him, you'll reign with him. If you refuse to suffer with him, you can't reign with him. And forget this rapture crap and quit thinking about being taken away from the wrath of Satan, because he's coming back. And notice, he's coming back to deceive, verse 8, and when the 1,000 years, verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Don't you think it's time for him to come upon the earth? Don't you think in the last day Satan will make his grand appearance? Don't you think that maybe these Jews of Revelations 3 and 9, let me read it to you, and I'm going to set it up for you. There's a false Jesus coming. Let me repeat this now. There is a false Jesus coming to sit in the temple of God to show himself that he is God, and he will deceive, if he can, the very elect. Daniel saw it in Revelation 12 and 1, and he saw many of the brethren betray one another. They said, there's one of them. Get him. Bind him. Put him in prison. Kill him. Cut his head off. Or torture him. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is raising up a church for persecution purposes only. In the last days, if you don't want to be persecuted, don't you get into this message. If you don't want to be hated of all nations for his name's sake, don't you come. If you want to be raptured out, get over with a rapture. Capture people. And get captured and raptured out of here. And the Bible said, know ye not? Know ye not? that your unrighteousness shall not inherit the righteousness of the earth, and the righteous will inherit the earth. The wicked will be taken away in that day as the angels come to sever and gather all of those that offend out of the kingdom. They're the first ones to take him. Don't you know that Noah survived the flood, and that the wicked were, in a sense, raptured or taken away? Can't you see a pattern here? Can't you see what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen? Now, notice this. I know your works, tribulation, poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of them that say they're Jews and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. Satan's going to have a synagogue in Jerusalem. A great temple will be built, and then Satan will appear and sit in it, not Yahweh. Remember, the rejected stone was rejected. They didn't want him. They opted and begged and pleaded and worshipped the false god, Jesus. Now then, Jesus will come to his temple suddenly, and he will sit in it, and these Jews will say, "Oh, it's our God. We have finally seen the light." What are they for? To deceive you. I know them that say that they're Jews are not, but the synagogue of Satan, the synagogue of Satan again. And here in 3:9, behold, I will make them of a church of Satan, the temple. Let me just change it to temple. The temple of Satan. It's coming. They're going to literally build a temple for this satanic figure that's going to come out of the sky and parade around as Jesus Christ. And he will deceive who? The very elect, if possible. Down at the bottom there, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I'm coming back to really give you some proof. Do you see any reality in this teaching? Are you willing to suffer? We'll come back in the second half and we'll give you some more to think about. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. I'm glad to have you with me tonight. I'm really enjoying. I feel the anointing of the Spirit dealing with my spirit tonight for you. And I hope that I have something that will benefit your thought process as you make your way back to the Father. Praise Yahweh. Now, the incarnation of Satan into a literal seed line is what we're talking about. Now, I know them that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the temple of Satan. There is a satanic temple hidden now. The subtlety of the serpent is to hide. He don't reveal himself until he's done hit you fangs of poison. The doctrine of deceit. To deceive the very elect. Ladies and gentlemen, sir, you need to check. Check where you're at tonight. Check where you sit. Understand. Search the scriptures. If you're willing to call me, call me if you search. Praise Yahweh. We'll search together. I'll give you some pointers. I have studied for over 45 years in the Word. And it's amazing how Satan can deceive us. It's just like in the 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12. You know, we've all been told that David was a Jew and that Christ came through the bloodline of David as kingship. Well, ladies and gentlemen, right there again, that's deceitful. Because David was never a Jew. He was an Ephraimite. It tells you right there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, 12. Read it. And then it'll put you on the trail. It should. If you need any more help, we have hundreds of scriptures that will attest to the truth that's been hid from from the very foundation of the world. You see, Christ, when he came, he revealed in John 8:44 that there was literally a incarnated seed line upon the earth, that the Satan did father a seed line into, oh, you say that's spiritual, buddy. We're all God's children. Oh, really? Well, then, would God deliberately send you a strong delusion to believe a lie? And is there not deliberately a brute beast, natural brute beast made to be taken in the fire? Does that sound like a sheep to you? Does that sound like everybody is going to heaven? And we're all going to be one multicultural, miscegenated, happy family with a hodgepodge? You see, Satan became a literal seed line, and he brought forth this literal counterfeit seed line, which would be a thorn in the side of the seed of the woman until the consummation of the ages. This wicked seed line would kill Abel, and wage warfare against the seed of the woman in every generation to everyone tribulation and anguish. Because Satan has come down to make war with the remnant of the seed. The seed of who? The seed of Christ from the woman. Praise Yahweh. Now, seek the interlude into the seed of the woman, mixing themselves among the seed of the woman or the children of Abraham. Remember, Christ said in the 8th chapter, verse 37, I know you're Abraham's children. He didn't deny that. They said, we're Abraham's children, glory to God, and we've never been born. I know you're Abraham's children. Now, how could it be Abraham's children and not be the children of Yahweh or the children or the sheep? Why weren't they his sheep? Simply because if you go back to Genesis 46, verse 12, you'll see that Judah, who was the father of the tribe of the Jews, fathered into the race or the bloodline of Abraham a Canaanite affiliation. And you see, no Canaanite is going to enter in. This is where, these are the ones that say they're Jews and are not. The same ones that killed Christ were not Jews, not true Jews. They were imposters. They were counterfeit. And this wicked seed line proceeded into Abraham and the promise. Now, Satan's primary agendas, would aim at replacing the biblical Israel, the true one now, with his seed line, and Cain and his descendants. Well, who was running the Sanhedrin court when Christ came? What did he say? Beware of the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were the chief rulers. And the high priest was in union with the Pharisees, and he said, beware of the scribes. Now, why would you want to beware of the scribes? They would change the text. In 1 Samuel 17:12, they forgot to change. They forgot to rub that out. It escaped the changers, the scribes, and so it made its way down to us that Christ would not be from the tribe of Judah anyway, because Judah is not the birthright son. It's Ephraim. Joseph is the birthright son, and so then Jesse was an Ephratite, and David was his offspring, and ultimately Christ would come through that bloodline on Mary's side, not the father's side, because he was not born to the will of man or the blood of man. There was no blood in the veins of Yahweh Shua that was from the blood of a man. There was no man newer. It was God Almighty that overshadowed her. Therefore, she had the blood of God and the blood of the woman, which was, to me, which was an Ephraimite, which gave him privilege to be heir to the throne. And Joseph, his supposedly dad, himself was the son of David, so that would make him an Ephraimite. Now, we got it all covered here. Praise Yahweh. And the genealogy will support Pastor Buddy's teaching here. And you need to write for this information. This is incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Buddy's been chosen for the last days for this very purpose, to bring forth these things that's been kept secret from the foundation. Well, you ever heard of a message like this in your church? You say, no, and I wouldn't want to. That's probably true. You know why? Because if I can get up and stay in the Bible and promise all these churches that I will never leave the Word of God, I will stay right in the Word of God and bring such a controversy among them that it will separate them. Well, what did Christ say? I'm not come to bring peace. I come to bring division. I mean, he'll set a husband against the wife. And he'll divide two and two. He'll put the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law and so on and so forth. And if he didn't come to bring peace, he come to bring the Word. Now, it just so happens to be that ain't everybody qualified to receive the Word because they ain't his sheep. You might actually even be sleeping with someone that won't have the Word. Now, your mother may not have it. Your daddy may not have it. What about your children? Some of them may not have it. Because the hope of Satan was to establish his seed as the messianic hope of the world. We are the world, and they give you a multicultural God in Judaism, which came over here and fostered the ideal. Now, look what they did over here. But you don't see the Jews, the rabbis, and the things marching in Israel, do you? With their hands folded together to allow the Palestinians some rights, like they were marching over here in Selma, Alabama, to allow the blacks some rights. Have you ever seen them over there? You have to be a Jew to even be a member of the nation of the Jews' country, which is called Israel, falsely so-called, I believe. But you don't see them marching down there in Jerusalem demanding equal status for the Palestinians because, you know, no, they're rooting the Palestinians who've owned the land for thousands of years. They're rooting them out and taking it. Yes, the land occupied now by the Jews is supported by the nation of America blindly, I believe, because these are not the true Israelites. Israel is scattered abroad, never to return. How much do we have to preach of this and teach it to get it across to you, ladies and gentlemen? Are you listening to Pastor Buddy tonight? Do I make any sense? Or you say, well, I know them Jews are God's chosen people. The Bible says it is. Show me one book. Show me one verse that the Jews are God's chosen people. I challenge you out there. Oh, really? Yes. Get real here, ladies and gentlemen. If you can read it, let's have it. If you can't, why don't you listen to something that you can read? Blindness, in part, has not happened to the Jews. The Jews were never blinded. Don't say the Jews were blinded. It says Israel was blinded. Who's Israel? That's the sons of Israel scattered abroad. Now, Matthew 10, chapter 6, verse, or Matthew chapter 10, yeah, verse 5 and 6. Let's put 5 in there also, because if you read verse 5, it says, go not into the way of the Gentiles, go not to the Samaritans, but go on to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So if the lost sheep are not Gentiles, then where are the lost sheep? Ladies and gentlemen, the history just overwhelming that the seed to be scattered throughout the earth was the seed of Jacob. And then we want to come back and say, well, the Jews are God's chosen people, and we're done Gentiles. Ladies and gentlemen, who stole the birthright? Remember again, in the scriptures here in Revelations 2 and 9, read it again. There is a temple of Satan, of Jews. The Jews have built a temple, and this temple is a great temple of mass deception in the minds of men. They built a temple of deceit in the minds of the Israelites, that we are not the worthy children to receive the blessing when we are and have been all along. But, oh man, how a serpent has done it. So the ultimate strategy would be to counterfeit the incarnation of the Messiah in human flesh. You could look at why the serpent seed rejects the Messiah as the true Messiah and continues to look for the Messiah to appear in history. The presentation of the long-awaited Messiah could coincide with the arrival of the Antichrist at the end of the age of history. Remember, I told you that the counterfeit would come and sit in the temple, not Christ. He'll be the Antichrist. He will be a type of Christ. He will be a deceiver, and he will be sitting in the temple as Jesus Christ, showing himself that he is God and will deceive the very elect. Well, that's already going on because most of them are already deceived. He don't even have to come, and they're already deceived. Think about what they will happen when he does come. He'll heal headaches. The Pope can't do that. Billy Graham can't do that. Oral Roberts can't do that. Jimmy Swag can't do that. Neither can the last great big prophet do that. See what happened to him. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the midst of trouble, and these deceivers are falling to show you the Catholic Church can't do it. The Catholic Church is paying out billions of dollars of hush money to keep their homosexuality, the priests that don't marry, from the truth going out to all the world that this is a major disaster. We ain't talking about a minor disaster. We're talking about major disasters of church after church of falsehood, and they're falling like dominoes. And the truth is beginning to raise and to make it very clear that this last hope that we've got is for you to acknowledge that Christ was not a Jew. Say, oh, I wouldn't say that for nothing. The Bible says he's a Jew. May give me book, verse, and chapter where he's a Jew. They tried to say he was a Jew, but he didn't say he was a Jew. In the 7th chapter of the book of St. John, starting at the 40th verse, the controversy through verse 52 was, read it, and you'll find out that they decided he was not a Jew, but he was from Galilee, the northern 10 tribes, which would make him a son of Joseph Ephraim, which would be in line for the birthright. Ladies and gentlemen, ever who is from Joseph will get the birthright according to Genesis 49, verse 22 through 26. verse 24 in particular, says that the Son of God will come through the blood of Joseph to be the stone shepherd. Well, remember, the stone was rejected. He came, but he was rejected. He was in the world, according to John 1 and 10, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, said the Word was made flesh, so God came in a flesh body. They killed him. Who killed him? Those imitators, those counterfeiters that said they were Jews but were not. And so then they have made us believe that Christ himself was a Jew. Does that add up? No. Would his sheep kill him? Would the good trees be a murderer? Or would it be the evil trees that murder? Who was a murderer from the very beginning? Christ told you from verse 37 of John 8 over to 44, he concludes that the Jews, the counterfeits, the serpent seed mixture with the Canaanites, I can read it, I can prove it, that this Jewish seed mixed with Canaanites, and they took authority over Israel. When all of Israel and Judah was vacated from the land, there wasn't nothing over there left but the Canaanite seed, and just a remnant of the Benjamites, and just a few good of the Jews. The Bible said many of the Jews believed on him, but for fear of being put out of the synagogue, they wouldn't even confess the Messiah being from the birthright tribe of Ephraim and Joseph. They knew that when the birthright son come, he would be out of Galilee. Isn't it recorded in Micah 5 and 2 that he would come out of Bethlehem Ephratah? And you've been lying to him and said he'd come out of Bethlehem Judea? At the time of Bethlehem Ephratah, where the birthright and the covenant was promised, and where Joseph inherited this territory of Bethel, which it means house of Yahweh, or house of Elohim, where that the promise was given that he would come from Bethlehem Ephratah, and Bethlehem Ephratah is in the territory of Joseph, and that's where Christ came from, not Bethlehem Judea, Bethlehem Ephratah, according to Matthew 2 and 1, and 2 and 6. Compare those two and say, saying something wrong here. Ladies and gentlemen, where did Herod go out and kill the children? Did he go up to Bethlehem Judea to kill them? No, he went up through the coast of Bethlehem Ephratah. Why? Because that's where Christ was reputed to be born, according to Micah 5 and 2. The prophecy is right there in front of you, and ladies and gentlemen, they have lied to you. Why? They're liars. That's what they do. They have reaped, oh man, they have reaped the material sympathies of this great nation. They drained this nation dry with a Federal Reserve Act. They were behind that. Now these Jews control the international bankers of Jewish, and these Aryan bankers have bedded up with them. They will receive a greater damnation, charging the usury to the sons of Jacob, which is not supposed to do. And they wrote a Talmud book to criticize your Messiah and say that he was worthy to be boiled in semen, that he was born of a whore, when the Bible says he was born of a virgin, holy, a holy little girl. Now, like a Catholic church says, that she remained a virgin after Christ, and, you know, after Christ was born, she remained a virgin. That's hogwash. She had children after the fact. But you can't remain a virgin when you have children. Now, the virgin birth, meaning that she was still a virgin as far as man goes. She had not known a man, the Bible said, until. Now then, we're getting down to the facts, and this Catholic Church has built Holy Mary worship as Ishtar. The same situation that the Israelites have been led to worship. We've done it all over, because there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. And we are right back into Ishtar worship, the Queen of Heaven. Have you ever read it in the Bible? And ladies and gentlemen, this ought not to be. Mary didn't intend it to be that way, but there was an evil man that established this church. And she played an important plan on how to get it started. It's all in the Bible. I don't know whether you have ever read it or not, but there was two deceivers in the camp that betrayed the Messiah. One was designated a devil from the very beginning. The other was a real snake. He's the one that escaped and didn't die. That's the one that set up the false church. You need to write for that information with Pastor Buddy on the real serpent in the house of Israel. So there's a lot of mystery and intrigue in this. If you'd like to call Pastor Buddy back and get some of the information here, well, then you just call Pastor Buddy, area code 423-626-2172. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to write Pastor Buddy tonight, you can write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. If you would like to email Pastor Buddy, just Buddy, lowercase, Buddy, plain Buddy, B-U-D-D-Y, at wwgap.net. That's Buddy at wwgap.net. Now, that's all the addresses, telephone numbers that you'll need to get into the Shepherd's Call. I have information that I can send out to you if you'd like a free package of information, a track, and a couple of complimentary tapes that we do on Truth Radio and also on WWCR on Sunday night, every Sunday night, praise Yahweh. So if you'd like to join in with us and catch some more teaching that we give out, we are not permitted to teach some of the things that we say for our tabernacles, and that's coming up here in the seventh month of the Hebrew month. Actually, if you count from Passover in April, the 25th, count 7 months, and you'll see when we will be in tabernacles at the full moon. So we'll be in tabernacles. We'll be teaching all of these things that we cannot teach on the radio. These are things that are hid from the world, and they are for the ears of Jacob, Israel, only. So if you'd like to hear more, ladies and gentlemen, we get into some astounding revelations that is not for the world. It is only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and to them we were sent to minister to. And you'll be blessed. We have a great time. There's rejoicing. There's dancing, singing, playing on instruments. We had a great bluegrass band in our Passover, and the wonderful music, wonderful saints shouting, praising the Father, rejoicing, dancing, and we had altar services every night at the 8-day glorious feast. And so we had a great time. So if you'd like to join us on those days and times, well, just contact Pastor Buddy for times and places. And you would like some information on how you can help support the Shepherd's Call. If we had one more to support us with a sizable offering each month, we could gain more time on worldwide radio. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy and Shepherd Call. My time is done and gone. I'll see you tomorrow night. This is Wednesday. It's the 5th of the month of June. Praise Yahweh. So we'll see you tomorrow night on Truth Radio, 8 o'clock Eastern. You be there.
Join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this station. Praise Yahweh.